Who's Helen Mirren? I've never heard of her.
All right, let's get this started. How do you not know Helen Mirren is?
Who is that?
British actress, triple crown of acting. She won the Academy Award. I don't know how many
times.
She's
British. The only British actress I recognize is Emilia Clarke.
Not only is she British, she's old.
Helen Mirren was born when World War II was ending. So
that's old.
Helen Mirren thinks it's time to redefine sexy. That's what came up when I Googled her.
Thank you. Okay. All right. See, so maybe let's not hold off on Helen Mirren so much.
I'm about to just tweet this out. Is Helen Mirren hot? Yes or no?
That's it. There's a new member of the Final Four Club, and they hail from Lubbock, Texas.
Celebrating in the streets in Lubbock.
Wow.
Because Texas Tech Monday night will be playing for the national championship.
Welcome on, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast, presented by Viva the Matadors. You are on once again with your boy, I'll be sure. And two pods in a row, we got the whole gang. Right hand man, Dylan Smythe. What's up, Dill?
I was really fighting a sneeze right there, but it went away just in time. So it's all good.
So you know it's going to be a good pod. So you know.
No sneezes allowed.
Jeremy Gillen. Dang, just right in the middle of my shout out, Jeremy. Jeremy, Dylan don't care about you. Dylan don't care about you, bro.
That's what. Oh God. Okay. Glad to be here. Don't have to sneeze, but I like to be here more than Dylan does. So, Dylan, chirp at me as you like.
Even
but
when
I'm
not here, I'm still here because I have to edit. So.
Yeah, I was gonna say Dylan just edits every single episode of the podcast, but no big deal. So this is the conference, as if you listened to the last pod, you know that this is the conference championship tournament podcast preview podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. So guys, the Big 12 tournament is coming up. Texas Tech was a bona fide 3 seed just a week and a half ago. I think... if I'm not mistaken, ESPN had us as 90% chance of getting the 3 seed, and the 10% prevailed. We are now the 5 seed, and we're going to play the Texas Longhorns in the first round. You know that same Texas team that like beat the crap out of us in home just last week. What are your initial thoughts, Dylan?
This team's in trouble. I didn't know if we were going to jump into this straight into the podcast, but why not? With the loss to Kansas, this team is in trouble. I think it's official to say we might be on the bubble. So this tournament is very, very important. This game against Texas, increasingly important. Two bubble teams fighting it out.
Duking it out to the death. Somebody dies at the end of this. That's what I heard. Jeremy, what are your initial thoughts?
Past 2 years, the Big 12 tournament's been kind of a joke where Texas Tech comes in, sucks at it, but then makes a really cool run in the tournament, in the NCAA tournament. This year, not so much. Can't tell if Chris Beard just loves a good storyline or if truly, like Dylan said, we're in a pretty bad pickle here. But it's Texas Tech up against the wall, which is where you usually like them. Really good underdog team. And so I have high hopes about this tournament.
Yeah, I really
that sounded confident.
You. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there you go. There you
I
go.
Believe you. So an interesting thing about this game is that right now, because Texas put them in the situation where 4 games ago, I said, it's my fault. I've totally taken ownership of this. It's my fault because 4 games ago, after beating Iowa State, I said that I think Tech could lose every game for the rest of the season and still be in the tournament. And they've legitimately done that, right? And so right now, they have Bracketology has Tech as a 10th seed in the tournament on the bubble, but should be in, while Texas is, I think, on the first 4 out. So it could be a situation where the winner of this game is in the tournament and the loser is out. How does that add to, you know, the hype on this game, Jeremy?
How doesn't it add to it? I mean, you got Texas who beat you at home. And you've got it pretty much, and Dylan and I were talking about this earlier, you've seen it in a lot of places where analysts are starting to say, winner of this game, you'll go through, but the loser, like NIT is your best bet. And I just think that's a very unacceptable for Coach Beard. That should be very unacceptable for Holyfield and Clark, who transferred to this team with high hopes of playing in the tournament and, you know, kind of expanding on this Texas Tech legacy. This is primetime basketball for the Red Raiders. I don't know how you can sell it any better.
Yeah, like Jeremy said, it's setting up to be, there's a very real possibility that the winner of this game is in and the loser's in the NIT. And like, what sweet justice and redemption for this season would it be if we sent Texas back to the NIT? That would be a great silver lining on the season. And it would be a shame if we were to lose this game and have to go to the NIT with players like Jamias Ramsey.
Yeah, what would be better? Tech winning the NIT or losing in the first round of the NCAA?
So Texas fans asked themselves that question last year. It's going to the tournament and losing.
Okay, I was hoping we weren't going off the deep end, like, because it's gonna.
You don't want to be the 69th best team.
We want to be the 68th worst team.
Yeah, we talked about this last year. Amen. Remember how we made fun of these Texas fans for this? So let's not, Red Raiders, if this does end up happening, like, let's not do that.
Let's not sink to, Texas depression. Shaka's garbage. It's over. Let's go to the NIT, yeah. Maybe.
So speaking of garbage Shaka, let's go ahead and preview this game. First round of the, well, actually technically the second round, the quarterfinals of the Big 12. 4-seed Texas versus 5-seed Texas Tech. Y'all know the stars in this game: Jamias Ramsey, Kyler Edwards, Davide Moretti on Tech side. And then on Texas side, we have, name escapes me, Matt Coleman, Will Baker, Andrew Jones. Hey, I will say before we get into this, and I've done a really good job not doing this, no slander for Andrew Jones. Absolutely incredible story. He's had a really good year this year. And so I will slander literally everybody else on this team, but Andrew Jones. Who's averaging 11.5 points a game this year. So comeback player of the year, in my opinion. And if he doesn't win it, do they have comeback player of the year nationally? I think they do. If they do, it has to be Andrew Jones. But matchups. Give it to me, Dylan.
It all depends on what Texas team decides to show up. Is it going to be the Texas team that won 4 games in a row at the end of February, or is it going to be the one that lost 81-59 to Oklahoma State? I think we match up well. They don't really have any players who particularly scare me. Matt Coleman has been playing really well lately, which is a bad sign for us, but we have the guards that can manage him. Will Baker's been playing a lot better. Hepa, they're bigs. Are basically nobodies, but they're all playing better right now. It really just depends on which team decides to show up. But matchup wise, I'm not too worried about anybody. Andrew Jones torched us, to your credit, that he torched us at home last game.
What about you, Jeremy? What do you think?
Yeah, you got to watch Matt Coleman. Whether he has a good game or a bad game, he is really how this offense runs. He's a great ball handler and he has a lot of vision for the court, so just keeping an eye on him. And I think Texas Tech does a good job at that, but like Dylan said, keying up on Coleman really allowed Jones to open up his game and double his average. I mean, have just a tremendous 22 points for Texas to solidify an almost easy win for them. I don't know which of their bigs are still out, because in our game with them earlier, they had 3 players out. 2 of them were bona fide bigs. I don't know who is still out, but if like Sims is back in, who else? Liddell, if they're back in, it's going to be a difficult game for people like Holyfield, which you hope that last game showed us. You hope that people like McCuller and Clark will go up to get the rebounds when Holyfield is not maybe feeling it.
But you are, I will say this, I am glad Texas got whooped in their last game because it killed their momentum. Like a lot of times I'm usually worried about those type of things because, you know, teams are more focused in on the next game, yada, yada. This is the Big 12 tournament. When it comes to being hyped for a game or what have you, by this point, if you're not hyped for a game like this, what are you doing here? But I think it did kill their momentum. You can watch tape as recently as last game to see how you can stop these Longhorns. What Oklahoma State did is they did one of two things. They attacked with Isaac Laikili, and they went into the mid-range with McGriff, right? McGriff was just down low, and he attacked him both inside and out. Something that I could see a guy like McCullough doing, right? I could easily see McCullough doing exactly what McGriff did in the Oklahoma State game. And then I could see Ramsey for at least a half doing what like Healy did, right? Now it's the second half we got to worry about with Jamyce Ramsey. But the first half, I could definitely see that. Those are kind of the matchups. Coleman versus Ramsey, because I do think that when Ramsey sees that a player of his caliber, he kind of steps up the game a little bit. So I am interested to see Ramsey versus Coleman and see how that is. There's going to be scouts galore watching this game. So I'm curious to see what Ramsey does.
Well, and here's the other thing. Well, when you're talking about where's the hype in this game, where's the excitement for this game, for Jamyce Ramsey, if you're considering being a one and done, this you have to win this game. I mean, if we're presuming, okay, you'll lose this game, you're probably going to the NIT. Ramsey, I'm sure he doesn't want to end his collegiate career in the NIT. So this he has got to come out and ball out in this game. Otherwise, Texas will have an opportunity to steal this from us, pretty much unrightfully so. So a lot of it falls on Ramsey to have a good game again, which you feel like is not asking a lot for the Big 12 rookie, like freshman of the year. But you
on the flip side, do you think if Texas loses this game, Shaka Smart
that's
fired?
That is a good question considering their late season run. You know, people down in Austin might be saying, well,
they
you
are
know what?
Saying
he,
that.
He
they
might
are
be figuring
that.
It out
not
now. Look how
be.
They had this big run against good teams.
You know how discouraged Texas Longhorn fans are about Shaka Smart? I was hanging out with two Longhorn fans on vacation last week. My dad, a graduate, and his best friend, a graduate. Both of them had no idea Texas was on a four-game winning streak.
they're dejected. They don't care.
Because they were just so done with the season and ready to get rid of Shaka Smart. And I had to break the news to them. That's like, I think Shaka just bought himself another year.
See, so here's the thing that's interesting, because we don't really see it too much in Lubbock, because for the most part, the media in Lubbock and the fan base are kind of, they're kind of on the same par. You might have, like, when everybody was split on Kingsbury, the media was kind of split on Kingsbury as well. When everybody hated Tuberville, the media, but in Austin, that's not really the case, like almost never. And what you're seeing now is that the media in Austin are praising Shaka. You see it all the time. I mean, they're talking about how much they love Shaka, how Shaka deserves another chance, yada yada yada, from guys like Kirk Bowles can I talk about Westcott? I'm not gonna talk about Westcott, but guys like that just absolutely love Shaka, and yet the fans can't wait to see him leave. Like the fans just I've seen people wanting Texas, they're going to be Texas fans rooting for Texas to lose this game. So there's no smidgen of Shaka Smart being on this team next year. And the thing about it is that it's funny Shaka going on this four-game winning streak. John Beilein's right there. Like there's no reason that John Beilein wouldn't take this job, and there's no reason why Texas wouldn't want a guy like John Beilein. He's right there. And Texas may say, no, sorry, sir. I know you've been successful literally everywhere you've been. We don't want you. We want Shaka for another year.
What's actually kind of interesting to that, too, is Texas hired an assistant from Michigan after Beilein left. Yaklich, I think is his last name. Like a big defensive assistant. And all year, everyone inside of Longhorn fan bases have wanted them to promote him. But they might just hire his old boss instead. And I think that'd be a perfect match. But anyways.
It's a no-brainer, but it's so much of a no-brainer that I pray it doesn't happen. I still want Tech to win this game, obviously, but I pray that just sow the seeds of, that Shaka, he deserves another year. Mind you, Texas is I think fifth or sixth in Big 12 recruiting right now. Like they're not doing great either. But anyways, enough about the Longhorns. I do want to get into the other games we have going on in the Big 12 tournament to start out, because this is a tournament preview. And so, guys, also coming up, first round, we got the number 8 seed Oklahoma State, 9 seed Iowa State. Who you got in this one?
You don't need a bracket for this one, Dylan.
Jeremy, you go while he's pouring
it. It is our friends from across the river. It's Oklahoma State every day of the week. Iowa State is not prepared for this game. Their fans may travel well to Kansas City, but their team is not going to. So give me Oklahoma State.
Are you ready?
Yeah, you're right. I really didn't need a bracket for this one. It's a pretty no-brainer. Iowa State without Halliburton is not a great basketball team. Oklahoma State trending up as of late, just beat the hot Texas team. So yeah, give me the Pokes.
And Iowa State's been meaning for the season to get over with for the past month anyway. So this will be a nice little like, all right, let's get into the offseason. Let's hurry this up. Oklahoma State, like I said, for the past month, it's been different. They've been playing for next year, and this will be a good Boynton could use this for momentum. Not only that, Oklahoma State has played their way now into likely getting an NIT berth, and that's just going to help the team going forward. It's scary how much I'm pumping them up now because I think they're going to be so dangerous next year. Next one up, number 7 TCU, number 10 K-State. Dylan, who you got?
You know, Kansas State's kind of, aside from just beating Iowa State on senior night, they lost the last four before that game. So I don't trust them. I also don't trust TCU. They're not very consistent, but they've managed to get big wins when they, I wouldn't say needed them, but they've managed a few big wins. So give me TCU.
TCU. Jeremy, who you got?
I'm going to follow up with Dylan. I think TCU has the star in Desmond Bain. Prove what he can do if he's feeling it after they took down Baylor. So give me TCU over Kansas State, but I do think it'll be close.
But you don't know who they're... Are we assuming TCU wins? I don't like assuming.
It doesn't matter who you think. It doesn't matter who wins this game. I'm going to pick K-State. I was going to pick TCU, but both of y'all picking TCU. So K-State. They win this game. Xavier Sneed continues his run, I guess, before going to Russia. So we get to the quarterfinals.
No, I'm just kidding.
Number 3, Oklahoma will play number 6, West Virginia. Jeremy, can West Virginia win this?
I bet you. Yeah, it's closer than what people would expect.
West Virginia is really good at home. Huggins is an awesome coach when it comes to playing at home. West Virginia this year does not play well on the road. Oklahoma does. So give me Oklahoma easy over West Virginia, who will not be able to score a lot of points.
It's both team on the road.
Both team on the road. Yeah, but Dylan. Oklahoma is the better team on the road. Let me rephrase it for you guys.
Whatever. Dylan, who you got?
I think I agree with Jeremy. I'm predicting the upset special. Matchup Predictor has this 70-30 in favor of West Virginia, but I don't trust West Virginia. I really don't. They struggle to score the ball. Sibway is either great or terrible. And then you've got guys for Oklahoma like Austin Reeves, who mentioned in the last podcast, put up 41 in his last game, and Doolittle still solid player. Manic. There's a lot of weapons for Oklahoma. I think they get it done.
What a in my best coach voice. What a pick. What a pick. Oklahoma. Closer than the experts think.
Is that supposed like to be that? Corso? Because it didn't sound like
it. Is that
it.
Corso?
That was supposed to be Corso.
It was hard.
It didn't?
It was pretty far.
All right. Whatever.
It was reaching.
So we got number 2, Baylor, and both of y'all picked TCU to win in the first round. So, Dylan, who do you think wins between Baylor and TCU? Yeah, in the quarterfinals. We're going through the brackets here.
We're filling out the bracket easy.
I just said you
were just
predicting
presuming.
TCU.
We're just presuming.
Whatever. Do you think Baylor will beat either TCU or K-State? Yes. Okay, then.
There you go.
What are we
didn't
doing
matter.
Here?
It didn't matter.
Goodness gracious. Jeremy, who do you think Baylor will beat
TCU
or
K-State? The Bears. Come on.
The Bears.
The Bears.
And do everybody here have Kansas?
Yep. You stop.
I do. I know. Look.
Closer than the experts think. Closer.
It could happen. So, now we get to it. First prediction. I'm going to start with you, Dylan. Number 4, Texas. Number 5, Texas Tech. Who wins and why?
Man, I don't trust either team at this point, to be totally honest. Texas is either, like I said, about the last team is either great or terrible. And I would like to say Texas Tech is either decent or relatively good. So the ceiling is much higher for Texas Tech. I expect it to be close. I really do. But I put faith in Chris Beard and the guys. We got to have this. We have to have this game. And so does Texas. But blind faith in Chris Beard at this point.
Blind faith? It is March, Dylan. I am faithful in Chris Beard during March. So give me Texas Tech.
It was March on Saturday.
Yeah, it's different though.
Okay. So I hate agreeing with y'all. I'm a Pick Tech too, which means that Texas is winning in a landslide because all three of us picked Texas Tech to win. But actually, I'm going to have analysis this time. Here's the thing. Texas beat Tech to a pulp last time in Lubbock. I think there's a lot going on here. The guys do play up when needed. Now, we have lost a lot of those games we played up to, but also our talent has been a lot better, right? We've played up to Kansas. Kentucky barely lost. To Kansas barely lost. To Baylor barely lost. What happens when we play up to a team we know we're better than? I think that's what happens here. I think Tech not only wins, but wins by double digits.
Double digits.
Double digits.
Yeah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Not double digits. Digits. Okay. And that sets up for a Kansas rematch in the semifinals. So, yeah, that's who I have. So in this pod, end of the regular season, I do want, before we go on and move on and get our predictions for who's going to win the tournament and yada, yada, yada. I do want to hear from y'all. Who do y'all think the player of the year was in the Big 12, Dylan?
Yudoka Azubuike. I think that's a relatively easy answer. And if it's not Azubuike, it might be Devon Dotson. I think however you paint it, it's a guy from Kansas.
Yeah, what a way to share the award, Dylan. Goodness gracious. Jeremy, who do you think it is?
I say Dotson over Azubuike just because his shooting percentage is pretty inflated by like dunks and layups, which is great. But I think Devon Dotson is what really made Kansas run this year.
I as well would pick Devon Dotson. I kind of want to pick Freddie Gillespie just to
shake it up.
Yeah, I'll pick Freddie Gillespie. I mean, to get a third person in there, Gillespie's been a great story. Since everybody on NBA Twitter wants to say LeBron's the MVP because of his story, let's say Freddie Gillespie because of his story. A guy that was played D3 basketball. D3 basketball.
D3 football.
He's big enough to play football. He could play football. But D3 basketball his freshman year, then D2 basketball his sophomore year, and then Baylor for the next two. Pretty and crazy, pretty impressive. So there's that.
Soon to be a failed experiment for the Dallas Cowboys at tight end.
Yeah, actually, that is. Y'all do like your Baylor center, don't you?
It's Rico Gathers 2.0.
For sure. For sure. All right, so we're going to finish it off. Last prediction here. Dylan, I'm going to start off with you. Who wins the Big 12 tournament and why?
Man, I hate to say it because it's just like reverting back to old times, but it's Kansas. They're playing their best basketball at the right time right now, and I would have said Baylor a week ago, but Baylor seems to be fading a little bit, and they don't have the star power that Kansas has in Doak and Dotson. And then down the line, they have a lot of talent too at Kansas. It'll be a close tournament. I think there'll be a lot of close games, maybe some upsets, but Kansas wins in the end.
I like that long-winded answer. Jeremy, give me another long-winded answer.
Give me Baylor with flying gold and green. It only because Texas Tech gets the upset over Kansas in the semifinals, beats Kansas, repays the debt, and loses to Baylor in the finals, and then Baylor wins the conference championship.
Who beat Kansas, and then you're just going to give it to Baylor? Who picks Baylor in these things? Just when do we stop like talking crap about Baylor? They're still Baylor. You're over here picking Baylor to win the whole thing. God, you're the worst. The worst. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick Oklahoma. Why not? Like,
why?
Oklahoma.
That's worse than picking Baylor.
What's worse than picking Baylor? Oklahoma has won three of the last four, right? They seem to have really got things together. And you're over here talking about road wins on the road. Two of their two last road wins, at TCU, at West Virginia. We talked about West Virginia being great at home. Well, Oklahoma balled out there too, right? They have a complete team. Austin Reaves is finally getting it together. They still got Brady Manek, who started the year out as their best player and is now probably their third or fourth best player. That's just because the rest of the other players have progressed. They went through their rough patch earlier in February. I think of past the tide. I'm going Oklahoma. Do I believe in it? Not really. But if they do win it, I look like a genius. And that's really what matters. So, guys, all three of us picked Tech to beat Texas. Jeremy, I'm going to start with you. Does Tech make the tournament? And if they do, what is their seed?
Oh, God. I'm really not. I'll disclaimer. I'm really not good at seeding. I don't understand.
You have Tech beating Kansas.
I do. Yeah. I just don't know where. I don't know where the ceiling of our seeding is right now. Is it like 8 is the ceiling of our seeding if we go out and win the Big 12 tournament?
Well, bracketology has us at 10 current.
Yeah. But right now, I think that's what the expectation that we're going to be out in the semis max. Okay. Then, yeah, I think we sneak in probably as a 10 surprise. Well, surprise the Texas Tech fans that we beat Texas and then maybe keep it close to Kansas again to earn some favor. Because I know committee members are looking at teams that are hot. And if we can play really well against Kansas again, maybe give them a scare, that bodes well for Selection Day. But yeah, not that high.
All right. Dylan, do you have Tech beating Kansas?
No, and that's trouble when it comes to seeding. 2 weeks ago, I was telling everyone to calm down. We're going to the tournament. And I think last week you had mentioned that you're a little nervous. I'm nervous too. I think if we don't beat Texas, we're in trouble. We have a decent shot of missing the tournament if we don't beat Texas. That being said, if we beat Texas, I kind of expect us to lose in the next game, which I think would put us maybe in like the 9 to 10 seed range.
Yeah,
if it plays out that way.
All right. I have us, if we beat Texas, I think we'll be a 9 seed. That's kind of where I have it. And the main reason for that is because we're still high everywhere else. BPI is what everybody goes with. And we're really high in BPI for some weird, strange reason.
If we beat 22 Texas, in the NET right now.
Efficiently 22?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Like, how? How are we 22nd in the NET?
If we lose to Texas and get in, ranking? It's national championship recency bias.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah. So here's 1,000%. The thing. I think if we lose to Texas, we have a 50-50 shot of getting it. Like a split. I think Texas loses, they're not going to make it. They're out. And they'll probably be like a 2 or 3 seed in the NIT. Probably 2 seed. But if Tech loses to Texas, I said it 4 games ago that it could still happen. I give us Tech a 50-50 chance because our BPI and our NET and our just everything is just so crazily high that you'd be, because even with the loss of Texas, we still probably have a top 30 NET and a top 30 BPI ranking. And it's going to be really hard to look at a team that's top 30 in both of those and say they don't deserve it in. There are going to be teams that you're going to bring in ahead of Tech that's going to be worse at BPI and NET. So I think even if Tech loses to Texas, I said it 4 games ago, so I guess I'm going to stick with it and say that even if Tech loses, we will be in like the play-in game as a 12 seed, right? But I think a win against Texas is all the committee members need. We'll be a playing game as an 11 seed, I should say. But I think a win against Texas is all the committee members need to say, see, I told you so. I agree with Jeremy that a good showing against Kansas will just show that we can play like the committee members already know. And we'll be a 9 seed. And what I hope is we're a 9 seed and the 8 seed is Virginia. Virginia's had a very similar season to Tech. The difference is that they played really poorly early in the year and then has played much better at the end. I think they're now ranked, if I'm not mistaken. But there's a good chance that Tech and Virginia may play in the first round in the 8-9 matchup. So that'll be fun. And then, who knows? We might play Kansas in the second round again. Actually, no, we wouldn't. I take that back. We wouldn't. They can't do that. So we play like Dayton or Gonzaga. Yeah. No, they can't. Because we played 3 times, they can't. They can't do it. And we can't play again until the Elite Eight. So fun fact. But yeah. Tech's in either way, people. You heard it from Albie. We're in either way.
We'll see.
We'll see. But either way, big game this Thursday at was that 11:30?
11, I thought.
11:30. Yeah, this Thursday at 11:30, 4-5 matchup against Texas. We got to beat our rivals. We can't let them do 2-1 against us. In what could be Shaka Smart's last game as a Texas Longhorn coach. So it will be an exciting game. I expect, I don't know, Tech fans were there last year, so I really don't know how many Tech fans are going to be there this year. But should be a good time. Jeremy, anything you want to say to the people?
There is a team that knows how to come back and finish games even when they're down 7-0. Texas Tech baseball. Man, if you're not watching them, pay attention.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Go Tech. Dylan, got anything to say?
Pray for a win against Texas. Whatever you got to do. Whatever your superstitions are, do them.
Look at you being all religious and whatnot.
If you have a lucky pair of boxers, wear them.
All I got to say is that, again, yo, Texas Tech women's, they're probably not going to make the NCAA tournament. I think they're too far back. But the Lady Raiders been balling. They beat 25th-ranked TCU. They just went on the road and beat Oklahoma. Oklahoma's not a great team, but still. Two really good wins after winning on the road and beating Iowa State for the first time in a long time. So, man, Coach Stallings has this team ready to play. Next year, the team's going to the tournament. And they'll be the team that I remember back in the early 2010s that were fighting Brittany Griner figuratively and literally. So, shout out to the Lady Raiders having the opposite of the season Texas Tech men's having, to where they had low expectations and have exceeded them. So, shout out to them. And the only other thing is, hey, Tech men, please, hey, Coach Beard, I know you listen to the podcast, please win. Please win. Like, put our nerves at ease, please, so we can go in the tournament as a 9 seed and you know, be okay. All right? For Jeremy Gillen and for Dylan Smythe, you've listened to the last podcast of the regular season. We will see y'all after Selection Sunday. As always, stay wrecked, people.